Hello and welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Our guest today is Lori Martinez, who serves as Executive Director for Engage New Mexico. Martinez joins us to share more about our organization and how it is working to improve education results in Doñana County. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Could you start off by sharing a little bit more about your mission and what Engage does?
Sure. Well, the mission of Engage is actually really broad. We like to say we engage community to make change happen. But our, you know, kind of approved mission is to serve as the catalyst for the advancement of all people of Southern New Mexico. And that's a pretty broad mission. So we have our defined focus right now is really on education and improving education outcomes from prenatal through career in Doñana County. And that is through the Success Partnership.
Tell me a little bit more about the Success Partnership.
Okay. So the Success Partnership was formed really in 2013. My predecessor, Frank Lopez, was the executive director of Engage New Mexico at the time. And what happened at the time was a really large group of stakeholders in Doñana County came together. And so this was, you know, people already working in education, people working in the nonprofit community, people in the faith community, elected officials, people in the business community, really looking at what is one area that we can tackle in our county to really make a difference. And so they settled on education, and they also settled on a framework that's called collective impact. And so collective impact, if you've never heard of it, when people hear what it is, most people say, well, isn't that just common sense? And in an ideal world, yes, it would be. But at its core, collective impact is about taking any given area you want to tackle, whether it's homelessness or poverty or education, and tackling it in a more coordinated, aligned fashion than how we tend to do. So, for example, we've done a lot of work in the Success Partnership. The bulk of the work so far has been done in early childhood. And I know when I worked in early childhood for about 9 years in Doñana County. And at the time, a lot of the early childhood providers, we just were not great about working and playing well together. And so we might participate in some similar events or do some kind of collaboration that was real surface level, but there was no real deep collaboration. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but collective impact at its core is about getting a lot of organizations, people, and stakeholders out of their silos and getting them moved in the same direction together. And one of the things that collective impact calls for is a backbone organization. And so Engage is the backbone or the primary support organization of the Success Partnership. And what that means is that we are the conveners, we're the logistics people, we're the coordinators, we're the ones whose job it is to do all of that. And that's important because a lot of times when you take some of these big social issues and you might be able to get people aligned at first, but when you look at, for example, again, just our early childhood providers in the community, they all have their own jobs, right? They have their jobs providing home visiting or early intervention or pre-K or Head Start. And so they might have the desire to be involved in an effort like this that's coordinated on a community level, but may not necessarily have the time or the ability to do that. It would be extra, right? And so it's our job to take that on.
Now, I mean, the things you brought up are obviously very challenging because New Mexico isn't doing very well when it comes to child well-being.
We're at 50th in the nation.
Last in the nation, that is according to the Kids Count profile from New Mexico, Voices for Children. New Mexico ranks last in child well-being. You were mentioning early childhood education. 57% of young children are not in early childhood education. That's 52% below the national average, I believe, or
I don't actually know what the national average is off the top of my head, but what we do know, because in the state and also in our county, because Engage's focus is on Doñana County, is that we know that there are about 15,000 children under five in our county, and that the bulk of them are not getting any kind of high quality early childhood education. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some families don't want their kids involved in programs. A lot of families do, but they don't have the means, so they either can't afford them or they can't access them because of transportation. And then we do have some, you know, subsidized really high quality early childhood programs like Head Start, like pre-K, but there are a number of barriers that really stand in the way of families being able to access those.
Let's talk about some of those barriers. Is it just a capacity issue?
It's a capacity issue. The thing is, there's, you know, these problems we have in New Mexico, it's not just one cause, and it's not just going to be one solution that gets us out of it either. And so some of the barriers are affordability. Some of them are location and transportation. You know, some of just those really on the ground, day in and day out realities that our families face. And so if you live in, you know, one of the rural areas of the county, like Chaparral or Berrino or, you know, what have you, there may not necessarily be an early childhood provider close to you. So that's one reason. There are some childcare centers that are really great, but families might not be able to afford them.
Yeah.
And we have childcare subsidies in our state, but they only help a certain subsection of our families. And so if you're not at, you know, 150% of the poverty level or less, if you're just over that, but still struggling to make ends meet, you're not gonna be able to access programs like that. We also have there's people, I think, who don't understand really the importance of the early years on a child's life. Because what we don't want people to misunderstand is that we're not advocating that necessarily every child needs to be in a classroom from birth on. That's not, you know, some families don't want that, ultimately what we're advocating for is that every child from the moment they're born has what they need to really develop optimally. And so much of that is done through relationships. And so when we talk about quality early childhood programs, it also has to do with equipping parents and making sure that parents have everything they need.
That seems like a big challenge here in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there are a number of children whose parents are lacking secure employment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of children who may not have both parents mm-hmm. involved in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine overcoming those barriers and challenges would be something that is a challenge for organizations like you and people working in policy to really address this.
Yeah, it is. And there are a lot of complexities that happen in our county. So we have, even just in the immigration arena, we have families that have mixed status. And so if you have, you know, someone in the family, you know, parents who are undocumented, but their children are citizens or have DACA, then, you know, they might be afraid to have a home visitor come into their home and talk to them about how can they be, you know, really in a better place to support their children. Or they might be afraid to leave their homes and take their kids to a childcare center where if they think they're going to get reported. And that's just one issue.
Is
right?
That an issue that's really prevalent here now, or is it just a recent issue, or is it something that's always been ongoing?
I think it's always been something we need to be aware of. The thing is, what a lot of people don't realize about a lot of these programs is that most of them don't ask about immigration status. So for example, if you're getting early intervention services for kids, you know, birth to three, they don't ask about immigration. They don't ask about citizenship status. And so it's not required in order to access the service. So I think it's become more of an issue lately because of how divisive that particular issue has become in our country. And then here on the borderland, you know, we see the effects, I think, of that, or I think we feel that in a more keen way than maybe people who live in other areas of the country. So it's relevant. It's always been relevant, I think, to people who have worked in early childhood, but it's just been more, I think, on the national and statewide radar now than maybe it has been in the past.
I see. What about just having high quality childhood mm-hmm. education, early childhood education, how mm-hmm. is Doña Inés County doing?
Well, we have a lot of great programs that people don't know about. So when we talk about quality early childhood education programs, that could be everything from classroom settings like pre-K or like Head Start. It can also mean things like early intervention where you have, you know, physical and speech therapists and young teachers going to the home where the philosophy is you work with parents and kids in the community setting where they're more likely to be anyway, and then the changes are more likely to stick. We also have these amazing programs like Children's Reading Alliance, who do their 6-week long parent education courses that really teach parents how to interact with their children and how to, you know, how to read to them and what a difference that makes. And so a lot of it is about, or can be about supporting parents so that they can be in a place to really support their children, because you have 80% of brain development that takes place from birth to age 3. So it's a really crucial window to make sure that kids have as good a start as they possibly can get. And so with Engage and our early childhood partners, what we're advocating for is that every child should have that kind of start and have that kind of opportunity. And so for one family, that might look like having their child in a pre-K or Head Start classroom. For another child, that might look different. But the common denominator is that every child should have those opportunities and based on that family's needs.
One of the things that you've done recently mm-hmm. is build partnerships within statewide organizations mm-hmm. like New Mexico Voices for Children. Mm-hmm. Recently in Las Cruces, you partnered with that organization on the Southern New Mexico Kids Count mm-hmm. Conference. Could you share with us a little bit about that conference and what the theme for that conference was?
Sure. Well, I have to give a lot of credit to New Mexico Voices for Children because Voices has been in New Mexico for over 30 years advocating for children at the policy level. So they specialize in policy. And so they do a Kids Count conference every year that focuses on issues of relevance to our, you know, to our kids in New Mexico. But they also run a lot of data. So when you hear about data from the Kids Count, you know, data center and data on child well-being, that's usually them who's behind it. But we partnered with them starting last year to run a Southern New Mexico version of that conference because we wanted to be able to focus on what's really relevant here in our neck of the woods. And so last year we focused on early childhood, and this year we focused on childhood trauma for a number of reasons, but we wanted to tackle it from kind of a two-pronged approach. And that was really looking at our society is kind of warming up to the idea of even being able to talk about trauma. You know, we tend to ignore it or avoid it or just not
deal
with
it. There could be stigmas with it.
Lots of stigma, yeah. And I think too, just a lot of lack of awareness about how does trauma and adverse childhood experiences, how do those things affect us on a daily basis? Because in a lot of ways, we're blind to it. And so, you know, if a child has had a number of adverse childhood experiences, that gives them more risk factors for things that are more difficult later in life. So they're just at higher risk in general. And so we wanted to tackle this conference from the kind of what we would probably call the more clinical approach, and that's looking at what is trauma? What do we mean when we talk about trauma? And what are ACEs? And what are the symptoms? How do you identify them? How do you treat it? You know, what are really kind of trauma-informed practices? What are the best practices and ways to deal with trauma? And then also to apply the policy lens to it. And so the reason we had both of those is because they go together. You know, you want your decision makers and elected officials to understand certain things about trauma so that when it comes time for them to pass laws, they make good decisions based on what we know from the research and what we know are considered best practices. And so we wanted to really attract a wide spectrum of people to this conference. So people working in mental health already, certainly in education, but also people in the medical field, people in law enforcement, our elected officials, and just have a large group and, you know, community advocates and parents and et cetera. And we wanted to attract a large group of people just to come and sit and learn and have these conversations and really just put that on the forefront. And so that was what we aimed to do.
So what do you feel that was really presented at this conference mm-hmm. that allowed organizations and people who are really involved in this those issues in the community, in educational success and mm-hmm. quality of life here in Doña Inés County, what were your hopes that they were able to really take away from that conference? We just have about a minute left.
So. Sure. Well, a few things. We wanted people, number one, just to talk about it, because as you mentioned, there's such a stigma around it. We wanted to have that conversation brought to the forefront. We want people to understand that they are more than the worst things that ever happened to them and that there's a way through it and that resilience and hope are real. We wanted people to have tools that they could take with them, really tangible tools that they could take with them. And we wanted them to hear some ideas about policies that we could really start to be involved in and just to start tossing around those ideas and to think about trauma from that angle.
You come from an extensive social work background. I'm just curious, what really attracted you mm-hmm. to this organization and this position?
That's a good question. I did early childhood for about 9 years and then kind of hopscotched over to the higher ed end of the spectrum and did that for about 9 years too. And really loved the work. But I think the more I got in it, the more I saw and continued to see the need for things to shift on a systems level. And that's what Engage does. You know, we don't do direct services. We're all on kind of the meso and macro lens. And so it's all systems work. And I guess my hope is just that having done the direct practice work for so many years, that we can keep our ears to the ground and really listen to our community and make those changes on the macro and meso scale the way our community tells us they need to be made.
Okay. Lori Martinez, Executive Director of Engage New Mexico, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Morano.